My name is Olivia Leaving. I'm here today in Chemnitz in Saxony, Germany for the German Travel Mart 2024. I'm here with Wolfgang Gattner, who is the head of international marketing for Saxony Tourism. And I'm very excited to chat with him all about how Saxony is really progressing in the tourism sector, how it works in terms of working with the larger German tourism board, some of the highlights of Saxony, as well as how you as a travel advisor can book Saxony for your clients. All of this and more today on Insider Travel Report. Wolfgang, thank you so much for being here today. I'm very excited to discuss Saxony, especially because I've been traveling around Saxony for the past week and it's been breathtaking. So thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. And I guess kind of getting straight into it, talking about what Saxony offers, can you tell me a little bit about what unique attractions or experiences does Saxony offer that distinguish it from other German states?
Yeah, we always say that we're the number one cultural destination of Germany, and that goes back to history, because until World War II we were the richest, the most industrialized, the most densely populated part of Germany, and we have a long cultural traditions, especially driven by the Baroque age, and where the famous art collections of Dresden came together. And so that's a very unique feature that we have, and also you can experience the cultural highlights and also nature at the same time, because everything is very close together. For example, if you're in Dresden, which is kind of in the center of Saxony, and you come to Chemnitz, only 45 minutes. If you go to Leipzig, which is kind of at the western edge, it's only 1 hour. If you go to the Polish border where Görlitz is, it's 1 hour, 15 minutes. If you go to the Czech border, it's half an hour. So everything's very, very close. And I will say we have a high density of attractions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's very compact, but it is also really offers a diverse array of activities for tourists, which I've experienced firsthand. I've been based in Bautzen for the last couple of days for my pre-tour. I'm now a Bautzen fan. So can you tell me a little bit about the tourist-friendly smaller cities in Saxony, like Bautzen, my favorite, Chemnitz and Görlitz as well?
Yeah. Certainly. I mean, as you know, our large cities, of course, had some war destruction, and the story of Dresden is of course, very famous. Even though people have the misconception that the whole city was destroyed in the war, it was in fact only the city center. Same here in Chemnitz, as you've seen. But we have small cities which are completely untouched. Maybe the most famous, or the city that should be most famous, is Görlitz, because for many that's the most beautiful town of Germany, which has 4,000 buildings which are on the national list of monuments. But you also mentioned places like Bautzen, yeah. Meißen, of course, our oldest town, is basically completely undestroyed. Everything's there from all the centuries, yeah. As for example, the oldest palace of Germany, and of course the Meißen porcelain manufactory. Torgau, the second most important place from the history of the Reformation, which still looks like at the time when Martin Luther visited the town all the time. Pirna, yeah, there are quite a few of these places which are well worth visiting.
Wonderful. And what I really loved about Görlitz is you can walk across a pedestrian-friendly bridge and all of a sudden you are in Poland. So it really does show just how the history of this area and how borders have been changing and how culture has really kind of become this mosaic in Saxony. So now going to the bigger cities a little bit, can you discuss any recent or upcoming initiatives in the cities in Saxony, specifically Dresden, which is where we also spent some time, or Chemnitz, which is where GTM 2024 takes place and is the European Capital of Culture for 2025.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what's exciting about Dresden now is that the rebuilding of the city center is almost completed now. They're working on the last buildings. The Royal Palace is almost completed. So you can see Dresden back in its former glory. And I think that's really special. Chemnitz is a little more difficult because, you know, Chemnitz became a field for experiments after World War II because the communist regime decided to turn it into a model socialist city and even renamed it Karl Marxstadt, which means Karl Marx City. So they basically dynamited what was left of the city center, started socialist style buildings, and then the industries basically died to a large extent in 1990 with German reunification. So there's a lot of change happening all the time. If you go to the industrial sites, they're being refurbished into something else. And I think this is a process that will carry on for quite a long time. So it's an exciting place, not necessarily a beautiful place in the traditional sense, but a very, very interesting place.
It's definitely very interesting, and you really do feel like you're a part of history when you're walking around Chemnitz, which I think really makes it undiscovered, especially for clients that are looking for something unique and different, and to feel like they're a part of that emerging history. So Saxony obviously has a rich historical heritage, including its status as a former kingdom. How is history integrated into the modern day tourist experience?
Yeah, I think it's still very much part of it. Like I said, we're the number one cultural destination. So, you know, architecture, art, and music play a large role. And the big identification figure is probably one of our rulers, Augustus the Strong, who really shaped Saxony in a lot of ways and who introduced this kind of joie de vivre, yeah, the joy of life that Saxons still have to that day. And because, you know, he was a typical Baroque ruler who loved to party and have a good time. And he was not a warmonger or anything like that. And I think this is still very much there, and that's how, to a large extent, Saxons still like to live.
They like to live indeed. I love that. And you've touched on it a little bit before, but Saxony is known for beautiful landscapes and nature. Can you tell us a little bit about the natural wonders, especially around Bautzen and Dresden and Chemnitz?
Yeah, I mean, Saxony, basically half of the landscape is kind of hilly to mountainous, and so that makes for very varied landscapes. The most distinctive one is certainly Saxon Switzerland. Funny name, it was named by two Swiss painters in the 19th century who got reminded of their home country, and it's equally romantic as Switzerland for sure. It's basically not a mountain range in a traditional sense, it's the former bottom of an ocean. So it's sandstone cliffs and sandstone mountains and table mountains, and the Elbe River is flowing right through the middle of it, and you have also vast forests and makes for a breathtaking landscape which you normally wouldn't expect in a country like Germany. The rest is a little more conventional. You have the Ore Mountains, which were very important because that's where the wealth of Saxony comes from the mining. That's why they called it Ore Mountains. They found silver there in the 12th century, and they're still doing some mining there. They have all these traditions associated with mining. And if you go to, yeah, since you loved Bautzen and Görlitz, that's the region's called Upper Lusatia, between Bautzen, Görlitz and Zittau, which is in the southern tip on the border to both Czech Republic and Poland. It's a beautiful landscape, which is hilly, and then the smallest mountain range of Germany. And this is also just very, very beautiful.
Yes, it was very beautiful indeed. So landscapes and culture. Can you tell me a little bit about the culture and the food that clients may experience here? I know specifically we learned a bit about the Sorbian culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we have to explain that the Sorbs are a Slavic minority. To simplify it, the Germans colonized the East. They basically absorbed the Slavic people who had lived here. But in the area around Bautzen, basically, they managed to sustain their language and their traditions. That makes for very interesting traditions. Of course, they also have their own traditional food, which is normally simple food. You know, they were farmers and so on. So in general, I could say from a culinary perspective, Saxony doesn't have this famous dish, yeah, like some other regions in Germany have. The Saxons would probably say something like soured beef is very traditional Saxon, but the real culinary highlights are sweet things, because Saxons have a very sweet tooth. They love coffee. Yeah, they sometimes called the coffee Saxons because they drink so much coffee. And then they, of course, invented all kinds of sweets that go with it. Famous the Stollen, the Christmas cake. Yeah, the Christmas traditions are very important here. In any case, then you have a cake that's only here, you can only eat in Saxony. It's called Eierschecke, which I always describe as a layer of dough, a layer of cheesecake, and a sweet omelette on top. That is the easy way to describe it.
Yum. You're making me hungry. That sounds amazing. Besides the food, besides the landscapes, I mean, obviously this area is truly developing, and we can kind of be a part of that development as we go. But if you could, you know, predict the future, like what trends do you see shaping the future of Saxony in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time?
Well, there's going to be much more in terms of sustainability, because that's a big trend, and there's interesting developments. Like we have a famous little village called Schmilka right on the Czech border, also on the Elbe River, and which has been transformed from a basically dying village into an organic resort. And that's a fantastic project, and these kind of projects are springing up everywhere. And of course, we also stick to a lot of traditions which are also sustainable, and so that's one thing. The other thing is technology. There are more and more attraction which basically focused on technology. Just a few days ago, they reopened famous Colditz Castle. Colditz is the most famous prisoner of war camp from World War II, because they kept the highest ranking Allied officers there, and they all tried to escape. So there are these famous escape attempts, including building a glider, yeah, which would have flown if the Americans hadn't freed the camp just before the flight. And the rooms are, it's basically like a lost place in many ways, but with technology they have made it come alive, and they also illustrate these attempts to escape from Colditz, just as one example.
Interesting. And I know, kind of speaking to that darker tourism, mm-hmm. we went to Bautzen too, the prison. Can you tell us just a little bit about places like that and how you remember them as we go forward? In an eloquent way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, the communist times are interesting in certain ways for people, and Bautzen was always famous or infamous for prisons. Basically, there are two ones. There's a big building that's known as Yellow Misery, which is the regular mm-hmm. prison, but there were also a political prison. First in the Nazi times, then the Russians took over and had a political prison there, and then the East German regime did it. And the saying was, in East Germany, if you said something that was not wanted, yeah, like it was the wrong political view, they would say, if you carry on like this, you end up in Bautzen. So they imprisoned a lot of people there, and West Germany then bought these prisoners. That was a way for East Germany to get hands on hard currency, which was very rare, yeah, and which was required for certain purchases. So in that sense, this is really worth visiting, because you can experience how people suffered under the regime and were eventually freed by the West.
Absolutely, and I feel that Germany, specifically Saxony, does an incredible job of preserving its history for the better and for the worse and the darker, but as a way to remember while also looking forward and also embracing its plethora of different cultures, of different food, of varying nature. So it really is a destination to come to. If you want to experience it all. So speaking of that for a minute, how can advisors get more information to start sending their clients to Saxony? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are different ways. First of all, of course, there's always the website, in this case, visitsaxony.com, which also, if you put /B2B behind it, you're in the B2B section, which has a lot of useful information, from sample itineraries to pictures to you name it. We are also one of the few states which still offer a booking platform, so you can book accommodation through us. We also even have a tour operator license, so for those who don't have sources for that and want to organize a trip in Saxony, of course alone, we concentrate on Saxony, we can even organize whole trips for them. And we have a representative in America and also a press representative, so we're working with the German National Tourist Office, of course, so many ways to get in touch with us.
Wonderful, and I'm sure many advisors will be, because this is a very fascinating area. Thank you again for your hospitality and for informing all our advisors about the wonders of Saxony. And I'm sure they're looking forward to sending their clients there.
Thank you.
My name is Olivia Leaving, and this is Insider Travel Report.